You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Morning, everybody. Welcome. Has anybody ever had the experience where you say something and as soon as the words leave your mouth, you think, why did I not keep my big mouth shut? Yeah, we've all had that. The Bible says in James that the tongue, what we say, is untamable. It's a world of evil in us. It says it's like if anybody can control his tongue, in other words, what he says, he can control his whole being, and likens to it to a rudder of a big ship that can turn the whole thing, or the bit in the mouth of a horse that can steer it any way. That the tongue is this powerful thing. What we say, the Bible says our words are very powerful. Last week, Jonathan shared about the God who created billions of galaxies by his word. And today we read that scripture where Jesus speaks to a storm and says, be quiet. And maybe you know also people that know just the right words to say, that are always encouraging. You know that kind of person? No, obviously not. But apparently they exist. These people that just seem to know what to say. There's the words that that are inside our heads. Do you have that voice? The inner voice. But do you wonder sometimes what God is saying about you now? What God is saying about you? Do you wonder? He's saying that he loves you. He's saying, you're my child. He's saying, I know you messed up, but there is forgiveness. God is a God of all encouragement. The Bible says that. The God is loving and good and kind. And what's speaking over you, it says in Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why would he think of us, but he does? He's thinking about each one of you, and he's speaking about you in heaven, saying, this is my son, this is my daughter, who I love, who I redeemed. And the angel going, but she's messed up quite a lot. And you say, no, but she's my son. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of her. I love her. And I'm gonna redeem her. I'm redeeming her. I'm changing her. I'm transforming her. I'm sanctifying her to make him like Jesus, my son. These are the words that God is speaking. It says in the Old Testament, he sings over us. He rejoices over us with singing. God is so loving towards us. And yet inside we have the voice that counteracts that voice. And do you find sometimes that what you say about yourself, what you say with your voice, not just in your head, can be quite negative? Oh, I'm not really that good. I'm a bit of a nothing. And so there's this battle of our own voice and the voice of God. Wouldn't it be great if there was some way that we could just give over control of what we say to God? Would that be good? So that we say the right things about ourselves, about other people. Well, here's some tips. If you speak the Bible, that's good. The Bible tells you what God thinks about you. When we sing, the words are quite, you know, they're quite thought out. They're planned and they're from the Bible usually, and they talk about God and his view of us. Though the darkness closes in, still I will say, blessed be his name. That's a good thing to say. But there's another thing, as a gift that helps us as well. But I was really touched by what Mary said, that God is touching some people here. That God is wanting to speak his word into your situation where your voice inside is struggling to speak the words of God, struggling to have faith, struggling to believe. Father, I want to pray for those people, Father. I pray that your hand would settle on them, Father, your spirit would hover over them right now. And you'd settle their hearts, you'd settle the storm. Give them your peace, Lord. May they have faith. May they have faith, Lord, to trust you in the storm. In Jesus' name, come, Holy Spirit. Just hesitating because I've got a sermon planned, but I really feel God wants you to know what he's saying about you in heaven, what he talks about you, what he speaks about you, that he is not disappointed in you. He's not disappointed in you. And some of you feel disappointed in yourself. God is not disappointed in you. God knows your failings. Before you failed, before you sinned, he sent his son to deal with that, to bring you forgiveness. God is rejoicing over you. And we need to confess our sins, but we need to confess literally in the Bible when it says confess, it says say the same. Say the same. And we need to confess, need to say the same as God says. So when we sin, we need to say as it is that we did wrong. But we need to say, also confess that we are forgiven, that God loves us, has not taken away his love from us. And our hearts tend to say, no, you should feel bad for a while. You should feel guilty for a while. You should just beat yourself up for a while. But Jesus said, no, you're forgiven, you're my son, you're welcome again. And God wants you to know that. And maybe people online, you just feel you're not good enough. Maybe people in the room, you're not good enough to come to God. But God is speaking to you saying, I've bought you with a price. Jesus bought you with a price to bring you to himself. And if you don't come, then that price was wasted. That wasted Jesus. One of the things he's saying is, come to me, all you are weary and heaven laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Don't not come to him because you feel you're not good enough. But I will continue with what I've prepared because I feel it's also relevant. That there is, apart from worship and reading the Bible, there is a gift that God gives us to help help speak positively about ourselves. And so there's a list of gifts in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read 9 gifts. We have many gifts. We have natural gifts. We have like ability to sing. Some people have that. Physical abilities, intelligence, whatever. But there are spiritual gifts, God-given gifts that are just beyond normal human ability. So can we have that? Are we able to get that list up? So here's a list in 1 Corinthians 12, a list of spiritual gifts. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of languages. And to still another, the interpretation of languages. And I want to focus in today the last two gifts. Actually, the next to one gift is mainly what I want to talk about. To another, it says, to another, speaking in different kinds of languages. This is a gift that God gives that really helps build ourselves up. Now, you might be thinking, why does being able to speak in French or German really help that much? Another way of saying this gift is the gift of tongues. But really, a better way of translating would be the gift of speaking in different languages. And as I say that, you may be in several camps. Who here has heard of the gift of tongues? Most people have. You may have never heard of it. You may believe in tongues and speak in tongues. You may believe in the gift of tongues and don't speak in tongues, and maybe you want to or you don't want to. Maybe you don't really believe it or you think it's a bit weird. I think it is a bit weird, actually. But we want to teach what the Bible says about the gift of tongues. It's a wonderful gift for building you up in God. So what is it? I want to look at what is the spiritual gift of speaking in other languages or speaking in tongues. What is it for? There's two uses. And if I have time, we'll talk about the interpretation of languages and how to receive the gift of speaking in other languages. So first we're going to read from Acts 2, which is the first instance, I think, of speaking in other languages. So it says in Acts 2,
is that?
Yeah. This is the day of Pentecost. So this is Jesus has died and risen again and gone back into heaven, and the disciples are waiting to receive the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told them to wait. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. There are two other occasions in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Holy Spirit and then spoke in other languages. So that's in Acts 10 and Acts 19. I won't read them now. So what is the gift of speaking in other languages? It is a gift that is often received by people when they're filled with the Holy Spirit and is seen, you see it in the Bible, they see it as evidence of somebody having received the filling or baptism in the Holy Spirit. I just want to say, if you don't receive the gift of speaking in tongues, it doesn't mean to say you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit. But speaking in tongues is seen as a sign of having been filled with the Holy Spirit. So it is speaking a language that you haven't learned by being given the ability by the Holy Spirit to speak that language. Now, the person that speaks in tongues is the one that speaks, not the Holy Spirit speaking. The words come, the ability comes from the Holy Spirit. Tongues, as we sometimes call it, is not of itself a language. The gift of tongues is speaking in a real language of the earth, and somebody who to speak that language would understand it. Okay, so in this situation, in Acts, people that were there understood what they were saying. But it's true that the speaker doesn't understand what they're saying. The speaker doesn't understand. It's not that they've suddenly learned French or German and they can normally speak it. In that moment, they are able to speak in that language. And usually, the people listening don't understand it either. But in that first instance, people listened and understood. Now, like speaking in your own native language, you can start and stop. It's under your control. Sometimes people are maybe fearful of receiving the gift of tongues, that the Holy Spirit will make them speak when that would be awkward or embarrassing. But when you speak in tongues, you have control, just as when you speak any language. The Holy Spirit doesn't take over, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And the speaker is speaking to God in prayer or praise. That's quite a lot of information. Any questions so far? I'm open to questions on this. It is an odd thing when you hear somebody speaking suddenly a language that they didn't know. So what is it? What's it for? Why would God give such a gift? And why would I want to have it? I'm not entirely sure why God has created this gift, because it can seem a bit odd. But what's it for? There's two uses of the gift of speaking in tongues. There's public use and there's personal use. Now, there's a lot said about this in 1 Corinthians 14. And the writer, that's Paul, mainly talks about using it in public, like in a meeting here. I'm going to start with talking about what it means for personal use. And I was thinking about this, and that's why I shared at the beginning, you know, that sometimes our words are very powerful. Yeah? And we all know this situation where you say something and you just cut somebody and you think, I wish I hadn't said that. And sometimes you do mean it, but you know you shouldn't have said it. And sometimes you don't mean it. But we know also sometimes that words can heal and build up. And we want that. But what speaking in tongues does, it builds us up personally. So if somebody speaks in tongues, praying or praising God, they're built up. And what you're doing when you speak in tongues, you're saying, Holy Spirit, you take control of what I say. I'm submitting myself to you for you to take control of the words that I speak. So there's a step of faith to submit yourself to God and speak the words that give yourself. So it says in various verses in the book of 1 Corinthians 14 that talk about tongues. Verse 4 says, those who speak in a tongue edify themselves or build themselves up. So what's one of the uses of speaking in tongues is that you can build yourself up. And also, you can pray when you don't know what to pray. So sometimes I'm praying and it just feels like I don't know what to pray now. And then I can pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit, who guides the words, knows how to pray. I'm going to tell a story about Jackie Pullinger. Jackie Pullinger was a missionary to Hong Kong. She wrote a book called Chasing the Dragon. She worked for many years in Hong Kong with heroin addicts, and she saw many, many miracles. And she heard about the gift of tongues and being filled with the Spirit. And a couple went to Hong Kong, and they prayed for her. And they prayed for her to receive the gift of tongues, and nothing happened. So said, well, you've got to speak. You've got to actually speak it. So she spoke, and she spoke in tongues. She spoke, and the Spirit gave her the words, and she spoke in tongues. And so as she spoke in tongues, she didn't really feel any different. She was expecting it to be some ecstatic experience, and it wasn't. And so some weeks later, another couple visited and said, you know, have you received the Spirit? Do you speak in tongues? She said, Yeah, I speak in tongues, but I don't do it anymore because it doesn't seem to do anything for me. I don't feel any different. And they told her off and said, it's not about what you feel. It is to build you up spiritually. It's a spiritual gift, not an emotional gift. And so she started to pray for 15 minutes every day in tongues. And said it was a real chore. There was no emotion, no joy in it. She just did it. After 6 weeks, she noticed that her ministry had changed, that she'd always been preaching the gospel to the locals in Hong Kong, and very little response. And suddenly, people started becoming Christians. And she thought, well, maybe I'm getting better at Chinese. Maybe I'm getting better at preaching the gospel. But she realized that actually what was happening was she was building herself up spiritually by speaking in tongues, and her ministry was more effective. And so she became a great fan of speaking in tongues. And in her ministry, they ministered to drug addicts. When heroin addicts went to her mission, they would get them off heroin in one go, which is quite dangerous, but they would pray with these people 24/7 until they got through, and they would pray over them in tongues. Another great preacher from many years ago in this country, he was Smith Wigglesworth. He saw many miracles, many people healed in his ministry. And people said, how do you do that? And he said, I pray in tongues for an hour and a half every day, and I build myself up, and then I minister to the people and build them up. So if you pray in tongues, every time I've spoken about praying in tongues, what I've realized is, although I have the gift, I ever use it very little. I need to use it more. It builds ourselves up. It is that, of those list of nine gifts that we read, it's the only gift who has a use for building the person who uses it up. The other gifts are all for building up the church. I don't know why God would choose to do it through this strange gift of speaking in tongues, but he does. But I do wonder whether it is the fact that when we speak, there's this battle in our minds between what God says about us, which is encouraging and positive and loving and good, and what we say about ourselves, which can be negative. And so when we give control to the Holy Spirit about what we say, then he speaks to our hearts. And it says, our mind is unfruitful. We don't know what we're speaking, but to our spirit, God is building us up. And so he tries to get our mind out of the way. God gets our mind out of the way, which brings in negative thoughts and words, and puts his words in our mouth. And speaking is powerful. Speaking is powerful. It's more powerful than a thought. Have you ever thought of that? I think of these odd things. God created the heavens and earth by speaking. He spoke the word and the earth came to be. He spoke and the sun came to be. All the galaxies came to be when he spoke. Before that moment, do you think he'd thought about it? I mean, I can't imagine him not thinking about it. He kind of just spoke and thought, I never thought of that. There's a galaxy. But until he spoke, it was not created. And so when we speak, because we're made in the image of God, something can be created. We can create faith or doubt or fear. We can create trust in God. We can create miracles through our speaking. And so when we give our speaking to God through the gift of tongues, we're saying, I want to submit this powerful weapon in my mouth to you, God. Please use it. So our tongue is powerful. We're giving the Holy Spirit control. Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, he said, in verse 4, I want you all to speak with tongues. Then in verse 18, he says, I give thanks to God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. That's a pretty big boast, but he knew the power of speaking in tongues, and he said, I don't know how he knew, whether he asked everybody how much time they spent speaking in tongues, but it seemed to be in the pressure. He spoke in tongues a lot. But he, next verse said something different. And we're getting on now to the public use of tongues. Verse 19, but in the church, I prefer to speak five words with my mind. That means five words in the language they would understand. I prefer to speak five words with my mind in order that I may instruct other people than 10,000 words in a tongue. So in 1 Corinthians 14, he seems to be addressing a church. By the context of what he says, it seems that in that church, there was lots of spiritual gifts, but not a lot of order. So possibly lots of people were speaking in tongues, and nobody gets built up because nobody understands and nobody was interpreting. So he says this, verse 13. I don't know if we've got this. Yes, sorry, I'm not sure I've followed my own notes. Verse 13. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. This is when they use it in a public setting. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Singing in the spirit or praying in the spirit is another way of saying praying in tongues. So when you pray in tongues, you don't understand. So you can, when you pray in your own language, you understand. So it's another way of saying praying in the tongues. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit or in tongues, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say, amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. So he's saying, don't just speak in tongues, because when you come together as a church, you're here to edify one another. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at the most should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So what he's saying is that in the church, in a meeting like this, speaking in tongues should be only done when there's an interpretation. Okay? And the reason is, you can speak in tongues, but others don't understand, so they can't say amen, and they're not built up. And it kind of excludes everybody else. So if you want to speak in tongues without an interpretation, do that at home or elsewhere. So how does that actually work in a meeting like this? So somebody, it works like this. Somebody is prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak out in a tongue for everybody to hear. Then he or she or somebody else is given by the Holy Spirit the interpretation of what was said. It's not a translation, word for word. It's an interpretation. And they speak it out in English, or if you're in another place, the native language. He also says, if there's no one there to interpret, then don't give the tongue. So how do we know whether there's somebody there to interpret? Anybody got the answer to that one? Because I don't. Yes, so what Francis is saying that it's by faith, and it is by faith. So when you give a tongue, there's this kind of risky stepping out that you believe that God has prompted you to give a tongue, and you've got to pray that you get the interpretation as well, because that's what Paul said, give the interpretation. Or you might know there is somebody in the room who often has faith, and the gift of interpretation. And so you might think, yeah, it's going to be okay because Sarah will give the interpretation. Of course, Sarah's up in with the youth at the moment. So Sarah's somebody in this church that often brings a tongue and interpretation. So I've seen it where, not in this church, somebody went to somebody else in the congregation and tapped them on the shoulder, and they both went to the front, and one gave a tongue and the other gave the interpretation. I thought, well, that's, you know, a bit bold. I'll give the tongue, you give the interpretation. That's great, isn't it, if you're given the tongue. It's over to you now. You've got to interpret that. But they had faith that they knew this guy had the gift of interpretation. So what's the interpretation? And here, people will disagree with me. There's differences of opinion. In my opinion, Paul said that he who speaks in a tongue speaks mysteries to God. So he doesn't understand, is a mystery. So my experience and my expectation is that when the interpretation comes, it will be a prayer or praise to God. Some people believe that generally the interpretation is a message from God. Now, I don't exclude that. My understanding of the scripture is that tongues is a praise to God. And my experience is sometimes when the interpretation comes is that it is kind of a praise to God on a different level. Now, that sounds pretentious. But I have, on a couple of occasions, interpreted a tongue and found that the interpretation was a praise to God that I would not have thought with my mind. I don't know, more poetic, more fluent. So that kind of works for me. So in my little God box, I put speaking in tongues, you're speaking to God in a language you don't understand. The interpretation is also the interpretation towards God as well. But of course, God doesn't necessarily fit in our boxes. And so if the interpretation comes as a message to God, from God to the people, like a prophecy, okay, I'm open to that. Thank you. But I want to say that I think, for me, the most important use of the gift of tongues is in your own personal life. As I said, as I've been preparing this, I think I don't use this gift often. So I've been nearly as much as I should. So as I've been walking the dog, I've been praying in tongues. The dog's interpreted in her own language. No, I'm sorry. The dog's not interpreted. We'll edit that out afterwards. I've been praying in tongues. And I can't say I've felt any different. And actually, if you do speak in tongues and you try and speak in tongues for 10 minutes, it's quite hard going. But I've been trying, and I want to speak in tongues more because I know it builds me up. And I know of times when I've been praying for something, I really want to pray, and all I can think to pray is, God, help them. God, help them. God, help them. God, heal them. That to then pray in tongues. In other words, pray as God's Holy Spirit leads, because the Holy Spirit knows how we need to pray. Then that's really helpful, and you feel, you sense you've got a breakthrough. And sometimes you pray until you feel that breakthrough. So I would say, for everybody, you should ask God for the gift of speaking in tongues. So how do I receive the gift of speaking in tongues? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You ask God. If you have a doubt whether God will fill you with the Holy Spirit, get faith from the Bible. The Bible says clearly, in the latter days, which is now, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and my sons and daughters will prophesy. It is for all of us, a gift of the Holy Spirit. And ask God to give you the gift of speaking in tongues. And then you will have to open your mouth and speak it. The Holy Spirit will not force you. He'll not make you. You might find it comes easy that you just open your mouth and you find you're speaking in a different language. But get somebody to pray with you. Get somebody who has faith with you to stand with you and to pray for the gift of tongues. It's a wonderful gift that God has given us to build us up in God. And God wants to give this gift. I believe he wants to give to all Christians. And I'd love to pray with you today. My experience of speaking, learning to speak in tongues or getting the gift of speaking in tongues is a bit messed up. So don't always think it's going to happen how somebody else received it. I know a friend of mine, he got prayed for and he didn't speak in tongues, and then he was just he was in the kitchen at home, put some worship music, he found himself speaking in tongues. He just started speaking in tongues. And my experience was, I got somebody to pray for me in a meeting. I thought, if anybody can get to me to speak in tongues, it'd be there. And he said, right, speak. And I spoke out, and I thought, if I speak, then God is going to step in. And I spoke in tongues, and immediately doubted. I just thought I'd made it up. But what I noticed then, whenever I prayed on my own, I was just had this desire to speak in tongues, this urge from the Holy Spirit. So I thought, okay. The fact is, Jesus said this, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He said, if you ask for a bread, he will not give you a stone. If you ask for a fish, he will not give you a scorpion. If you ask for the gift of tongues, he's not going to, you know, you don't believe the devil's going to step in. It's you and God. You're not going to get something weird or wrong. God is your Father who will give good gifts to his children. So I want to say, do I want to finish? Because we want to pray for people. If you have this gift, I would challenge you to use it more. Because my bet is, I'm not betting, probably most of us do not use it as much as we should. Because it's a great gift for building yourself up. If you don't have the gift, ask for it. Ask God. And if you'd like us to pray for you, there'll be people here at the end who will be willing to pray for you to receive the gift of tongues. If you've got questions, and it's a kind of weird thing, and you might have questions and doubts, then happy to answer your questions. Anybody got any questions now I'd like to throw at me? You might be.
Is it possible
that the tongue could be in a language known to people? Yes, in fact, in the example in Acts that I read, the people listening, so the question was, could it be in a language that is known to people? Yeah, I think they're real languages. So you speak in tongues, and actually when somebody speaks in tongues, it's not a tongue. It could be a language, and next time they speak, it could be a different language. But they're real languages. It's not just something made up. So then when we read in Acts, it said that the people listening for all over the world, and they understood what was said in their own language. So they were speaking, the people speaking didn't understand, but the people listening understood because they were real languages. That answer your question? Is that what you meant? Second question, yeah? Oh, it does answer it. Okay, thank you. No, I didn't mention that because that's quite a confusing verse, so I thought I'd just completely avoid that for today. I will talk about it another time. Unless you want to answer it. No, okay. Yeah.
Interpretation thing, in like public meetings, you know, and you were talking about how do you know if there's an interpreter, and I'm wondering if it might make people feel more comfortable in terms of speaking out if someone does give a tongue and then there is no interpretation, then I would assume you would know there's no interpreter and we just don't keep going with that. I'm wondering if that's acceptable in your
question.
That's a good way to...
So the question is, the whole thing about how do you know if there's an interpreter? And so if you go for it and nobody interprets, you think, well, there's no interpreter, so I got it wrong. Is that acceptable? Yes and no, it is acceptable because we make mistakes. And in the end, you've got to make a step out and give a tongue or prophesy, and sometimes we get it wrong. We think the Holy Spirit led us and he didn't. It's not a big deal. Don't want to make a big deal. But if there was somebody who's bringing a tongue every Sunday and there's no interpretation, I would say to them, great that you give a tongue. You need to you need to pray for the gift of interpretation because there's no other interpreter here. So I think from the context of what he's saying, it seems that lots of people are speaking in tongues and there's no interpretation, and they say, look, that's just not helpful. But I think sometimes we've got to step out. So has anybody here ever interpreted a tongue in a public meeting? Put your hand up. Yeah, so we have people here. We have interpreters here, okay? Is it scary to interpret?
Yeah.
So there's a gift of it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I'm wondering if maybe, like, you know, someone is too scared to give an interpretation just because they're knowing. I'm not saying you should continue on with it and needing to be disruptive, but I don't know that I'm. Is it necessarily a mistake if maybe someone else is too afraid to bring the interpretation?
Well, yeah, maybe a mistake is that somebody's given a tongue they shouldn't have done, or somebody's not given the interpretation where they should have done. But I don't think we need to make mistakes a big deal. I think that we're all learning. We're all learning, and we don't want to just have everything so organized and lined up that we just don't take risks of praying for healing, of prophesying, of speaking in tongues. Yeah, James, what was your question? Yeah, that's a valid thing. So Paul said, what's the question? The case of one person speaking in a tongue and that same person interpreting. That's completely valid. Paul said, he who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. Yeah. Go on then, Anya, who disagrees? So Anya's saying that she thinks that the verse means that the person who can speak in tongues should also pray for the gift of interpretation, but interpreting somebody else's tongue. Yeah, I do actually think that when somebody gives a tongue and somebody else interprets, there's a kind of a powerful dynamic of the body ministry. But I wouldn't say it's a no-no, because there may be no other interpreter. So I do agree that that's a beautiful dynamic of body ministry and the Spirit moving through different people, but I wouldn't say no. Right, last question, because we do want to pray for people. Do you want to come there? It's a testimony, so can you just give them the mic?
So personally, I don't really think about interpretation. I've never interpreted tongues before. But I know there's power in speaking in tongues because it happened, I think it was last year. I was just, you know, moved to speak in tongues. I really do it, but very short. And then just kept coming, while I pray in tongues. And I was at home that day and I prayed in tongues for like 10 minutes. And that same day, it happened in the morning. In the evening, my brother-in-law had an accident and the car was written off. It was a very terrible accident, and he came out alive in it. So I believe it was because I was praying in tongues, because it was really, really, you know, a burden on me. And I felt like I prayed, because I didn't know what was going to happen, but I prayed in tongues, and God answered and kept him alive.
Amen. Yeah, so bringing it back to the private use of tongues, which I think is something we can do a lot in a public meeting. We're limited, but I would encourage you all to pray in tongues much more than you do. It is unusual to pray in tongues for 10 minutes, but it perhaps shouldn't be, and I think we'll see great miracles. Okay, I'm just going to close the meeting there, but I want to say we are here to pray for you. If you've got any more questions, I want to pray for people. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you want to receive the gift of tongues, or if you want to, us to pray for healing, God's put it on my heart, we need to press through into healing. If you want prayer, we're here for you. Father, thank you for your spiritual gifts. I thank you that you are speaking over us from heaven, your love, your acceptance, your forgiveness, your delight in us. And Father, we want to submit our voices, both in English and in tongues, to your Spirit, that we speak like you speak, your love, your joy, your commitment to us, Father. Father, fill us more and more with your Spirit for all the gifts that we know, we not just be doing this in the church, but in our homes and out in the streets and in our work and everywhere, in the name of Jesus. Amen.